Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Football Podcast. We're here in Henry Addington's, a bit later than usual this week, apologies for that. We had to scramble around to get a team together to actually do this week. There's three of us. Jim's here.
Yep.
And Mike's here.
Hello.
That's my boy.
The best three. The best three. Those not suffering from illness anymore, basically.
So, we'll kick things off with a decent question that someone mentioned to me the other day. Who's the biggest Judas in football? I'll go for Mike first, because he's probably got a really topical answer.
Topical.
Is it too early to say Wayne Rooney?
It may be too early, I mean, potentially.
I knew he was once a blue, always a blue, but I thought that referred to Everton.
Not sky blue.
But we never know, it might not happen yet. He might go abroad, let's see later in the show. I've got a few here in terms of recent times. Carlos Tevez didn't even leave us to join a more successful club. He left us for money, basically. And I know he wasn't getting in the United team, but he spent all year saying he knew he wasn't going to be in the team all the time, he was happy, he didn't want to leave, it wasn't about money. Then as soon as January hit, all of a sudden it was, I want to be in the team, I must be in the team.
So your Tevez accent, I
mean, that is actually the Buenos Aires dialect, if you've never heard it. But
he looks good with his haircut though, doesn't he?
He's dashing now, he's practically a male model.
I definitely would. So
bad luck to you, Jim. I'm not surprised.
That was the most northern thing. I'm not surprised.
Well, you know,
fucking hell, it's like watching Coronation Street.
Christ.
Tevez, any more?
I've also got down here Luis Figo, although to be fair he did at least join another successful club, but still, leaving Barca for Real Madrid, he's one of many to have done it. Michael Laudrup,
yeah,
a few others. And then managerially, I've surprisingly got Harry Redknapp down. For his I'll never manage Southampton. Turns up at Southampton, I couldn't ever go back to Portsmouth. Goes back to Portsmouth, then leaves them in the lurch. He'll probably get the England job and then say, yeah, I'll never take the Scotland job, and then 3 weeks later he'll be Scotland manager. So
I love your Harry Redknapp impression. I think we need to have that on the show every week. Okay, Jim, who have you got?
I agree with Harry Redknapp, to be fair, but I've gone for Alan Smith. Was one I looked at. For the fact that Soccer
Leeds
AM,
Leeds to Man U.
Obviously Cantona did it before, but slightly different.
Yeah.
They actually, Soccer AM said, is there anyone you won't play for? And the two players that I've picked both said it's the team that they ended up going to.
Really?
So they said Soccer AM, it was here and Jane, it was like, any team you won't play for, Man United. Who did he sign for? Man United. When Leeds were in desperate times, well, I know he had to go and they needed the money and so forth, but still.
His career just went down the toilet as well.
I think it was that leg breaker.
He started off so well when he was playing as a striker for us. He was knocking goals in, he looked like another Mark Hughes, and then we stuck him in midfield, and
then he just sort of
failed off.
Went to Newcastle, which is the graveyard of many a career.
And he's now a defensive midfielder.
He's still never scored.
Hasn't scored in about 8 years. And then obviously the one that I went for in the end, Sol Campbell.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Solskjaer, he was an absolute legend at Spurs. And the key thing, I think, the two things as well, the time when he left, he was at the peak of his career.
Yeah.
And the fact it was on a Bosman free as well. Which would have just
could have gone anywhere.
Imagine your club linchpin, your favourite player, the best part of your side, uproots and goes to your biggest rivals. Fair enough, that's bad in itself. And they were much more successful at the time than Spurs.
Yeah.
And then to do it on a free transfer as well must have absolutely killed him.
Yeah.
And he'd always said there's one team I won't play for, it was Arsenal. Completely went back on it and signed for him.
You don't shit on your own doorstep.
And then going into the managers, I looked at the managers as well. Steve Bruce. You forget, okay, in 2001 he joined Wigan. He was there for 2 months.
Yeah.
Lost a playoff final with them. Left them after 2 months to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
He was at Palace for 3 months and then left them for Birmingham. Spent 6 years there, fair enough.
Yeah.
But then he left Birmingham for Wigan and then dropped Wigan for Sunderland.
To be fair, are we really going to batter United under Jill's legends?
No, of course. If someone looks as if they had. I think we mentioned Harry Redknapp and Steve Bruce's face on every podcast, and I'll be a happy man.
I think, to be honest, by look at this, Harry Redknapp, Steve Bruce, Carlos Tevez, Wayne Rooney. Should we just reuse this for ugliest footballers?
They're all pretty ugly. Oh, Tobias Smith's doing a bit though. He's all right. He's not too bad.
That Luke Chadwick was a traitor now.
Yeah, exactly.
Rudin.
And I'd like to point out, Stuart was going to come to the podcast, but he's feeling very unwell, so we've left him being sick in a toilet.
Yeah. get well.
His biggest Judas in football was actually going to be Judas. He'd Wikipedia'd a load of facts on Judas. He was going to say that he played some sort of Israeli 11 or some bullshit like that.
I'm so glad he's not here.
Yeah, exactly.
That wouldn't have gone down.
Who are you going to go for?
I think my Judas, this isn't bigging up my own suggestion, but if you're talking club rivalry, it doesn't get much bigger than Celtic Rangers. Mo Johnston used to play for Celtic. He left Celtic after a successful stint, went to play for Nancy in France, did rather well over there, and then when his contract was coming to an end in France, he held a press conference to say, I'm coming home to Scotland, I'm coming home to Celtic. Celtic are, and I'm putting this in quotes, Celtic are the only team I want to play for, only club I want to play for. 2 days later, signs for Rangers, right? So Graham Souness at the time was signing players left, right and centre. He signed Mo Johnston, and now this is an unusual Judas, because neither the club that he left or the club that he arrived at were particularly happy about it.
No.
Right, Rangers didn't want him, so much so the Rangers fans were burning their own shirts.
So whose decision was the signing?
It was Graham Souness. Graham Souness, right? And also the kit man staged a one man protest that he sets out all the kit. Mo Johnston had to sort his own kit out, and also he used to give out kitman used to give chocolate bars out to all the team, and he used to refuse to give chocolate bar to Mo Johnston. One man protest.
The ultimate insult.
What sort of chocolate bar was it? Do we have any confirmation?
I don't have any further information on the chocolate bar.
If it was a Mars bar, fair enough. If he's talking Star Bar or Picnic, then
Star Bar.
Noel Gallagher's favourite chocolate bar.
And Lion Bars are good as well.
Lion bars are the king.
Big fan of the Lion Bars.
I have to say though, Graham Souness got previous, because wasn't Ali Dyer a Portsmouth fan or anything?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Could have been.
And Celtic called Johnston, they called him Judas, and they also called him, because he came from France, they called him Le Petit Merde.
What does that translate to?
The little shit, Mike, it stands for. But going back to a previous Judas that was mentioned, or potential Judas, he hasn't gone yet, Wayne Rooney. Let's assume that, you know, the cards are on the table. He said he wants to leave. United, really, they've done a number on him yesterday with the press conference. I think Ferguson, you can say what you like about the guy, but he was absolutely at his best yesterday. And Rooney's PR people have got a bit of a job on their hands now, because he's been made to look a little bit of a mug. But let's assume he's leaving. Where will he go, and where should he go? If you were advising Wayne Rooney now, and you got to the point where staying at United is no longer an option, where would you go?
I'm guessing I can't say to hell.
You can and you did.
Or to Manchester United reserves.
Yeah.
Where he will go will be Manchester City. I really don't doubt that at all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think their financial clout will just end up doing it. They'll probably end up giving us a ridiculous amount of money, which is a good thing, but it's going to be a right kick in the bollocks. We're going to need to buy somebody decent.
Torres.
If we got Torres, then I think it'll just about be all right.
Torres and Berbatov would do a bit, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but we'll have to see.
That's the big story, isn't it, Torres?
Where he should go, a couple that I've got, Everton.
Go back to Everton.
Which would not only prove that it's not about the money, because he's been painted as a mercenary.
Yep.
But they're a team on the up. I mean, obviously they're not Wayne Rooney's standard.
You're not actually going to make a case for him.
I'm going to make a case for Everton.
I'd like to, it's a romantic thing. I'd like to see him go back, but he won't.
There's not a chance in hell. But it would prove he wasn't a mercenary.
If you were his advisor, you would give that as a suggestion. Yeah.
We'd probably get Arteta or Rodwell in return with some money, which would be nice. But
yeah, Rodwell would be the one.
I think Rodwell definitely. But the place that I think would be realistic that he should go is Real Madrid. I think it's one of the only places he can forward his career. He's got a rapport with Ronaldo. Mourinho speaks English, so we'll settle in a lot better.
I've heard Mourinho interviewed about it after the Real Madrid AC Milan game, and he said something on the lines of, he's got no doubt that Rooney will stay at Man United.
That's exactly what Roberto Mancini said as well.
But he also,
they're both playing it with a really straight back. I guarantee both of them will have bids in by the end of the week.
Mourinho also said if he's available, give him a call.
Yeah.
But it'd be quite nice. 20 million plus Benzema and Diarra. I'd be happy with that.
20 million plus Benzema. That's quite a good deal for Real Madrid, to be honest.
Is that something you just made up?
That's something I've made up.
That doesn't sound like enough. I'll give you an idea, right? The sort of money that Rooney's going to be making in this deal. If he goes to Man City, he'll be the highest earner at Man City, no doubt, right?
Probably the highest earner anywhere.
Manchester City are currently paying Yaya Toure £240,000 a week. Okay, Yaya Toure is a decent but not outstanding midfield, holding midfield.
He's not even the best in his family.
He's not. He's certainly not the best at Man City either. And he's on 240k a week. Rooney will be on a fair whack more than that. He'll be on approaching 300.
I would think he'd start with a 3.
Yeah, he'd be approaching 300. I think that's where he'll end up, Man City. Yeah. If I was in his position, there'd be no decision to make. I'd go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But I think at Real Madrid, there's other issues there. One, you've got to fit into the new culture. You've got to learn the language. Yeah. Is he smart enough to do that?
He does seem a cosmopolitan chap, to be fair. I mean, he likes an Indian, he likes a Chinese, he likes kebabs. So I think he could adapt.
Does he like tapas? That's the big
question. Oh, well, you don't get enough in the serving, do you? That might be a problem.
That's a very good point. If I was him, I'd go to Real Madrid. I actually think that if I was his advisor and I was suggesting a club for him to go to, Everton would be one. But the other one, if you wanted to stay in England and you wanted to go to a club where you'll be managed as well as he was managed at Manchester United, there is only probably one other club you can go to, and that's Arsenal, which is a non-starter because that Arsenal would have to pay, and Arsenal don't pay for anything. So, you know, they are the only team in the top four who are actually running themselves as a proper business and not hurling money at it. Imagine if Arsenal suddenly said, right, we're breaking our structure for one deal. He's the right age. He was 24. He's the right age. Get him in. Fork out the money. Get him in the club. They'd win the league.
Well, to be fair, on the subject of North London, Harry Redknapp has actually come out and said he's going to speak to Daniel Levy about making a bid.
Fair enough.
But I think his exact words are probably, yeah, I'd like to manage Wayne Rooney, whether it's at Tottenham, whether it's for England, you know, I don't mind. Any job. So I think he was using it to tap up the England job, but...
Yeah, it's all roundabout getting towards going back to England job. Yeah. Jim, what do you think?
First of all, I'd like to point to something that someone sent me. It's a screen grab of the Fox News website.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, yes.
Which won't mean much.
I think I sent you this.
Won't mean much to our listeners, but look at that. The headline is, so I'll let you describe it as okay. It's the right way around
it
for you.
It says, later wankers, Rooney has told Man U he's quitting, report says.
I just love the
this
fact
is the home
that Fox News.
Fox Sports.
Later's wankers.
They have edited the actual story because I looked at this in the afternoon. They've taken the later wankers out. But they still haven't looked at the homepage and sorted that out yet.
Who says Rupert Murdoch's not bitter about failing to buy us in the 90s?
It's absolutely brilliant.
I think news should be reported more like that. I like that.
But, okay, but anyway, in terms of where he goes, I've got a couple of ideas. First of all, Birmingham City. Right?
Go on.
Okay, hear me out. They are currently sitting 17th in the Premiership. Bring in the drafting system.
What?
So whoever survives relegation... 17th place, last team to survive relegation gets the first pick of all the players on the transfer list.
See,
in that summer.
This is
goes to Birmingham City.
This is something we should talk about in more detail on another show.
There you go. So you were mocking me, weren't you?
I've actually given this idea a lot of thought, and
you're a sad man.
Of course I am. But there's a million and one reasons why it wouldn't work. But if the Premier League ever cut away from the rest of football, it could work.
Yeah.
And we could do this and see how it all worked out. We could actually redo the Premier League and see who's in which squads and which managers go
where.
You
mean in our heads? We're not going to take over the world.
So in other words, United are going to end up with Gary O'Connor up front.
No, they end up with Gary... Oh, you already got Gary Neville.
Ah. Ooh. My second idea... Obviously, you're talking about from a PR point of view, he needs to show that it's not about the money. There's a team I know that are looking for a player, they're looking for a manager.
I've just seen
looking
them now.
Callan FC. Yeah. Get him in. Callan FC, get him in.
He's going to end up on loan to a Chinese club.
He won't be transferring himself. Callan will obviously all have the strings, for the financial strings on his bow. But on a serious front, I wanted to go abroad. Because if he stays in this
really
country, then it is about money. Mm. I like him to go abroad because primarily I'm an England fan, so Rooney for me is an England player.
Mm.
I'm not a Premiership fan, so I don't really care about all that. And I would like him to go and test himself. And we haven't had a player at the peak of his career go abroad and test himself. Maybe possibly Lineker, you could point out.
Owen did, but he sat on the bench.
He wasn't really. He wasn't at the peak.
He did badly abroad, but he didn't set the ball.
They kept playing him on the wing.
Yeah,
much like Lineker was when he was at Barcelona.
Johnny Woodgate did all right.
He started off well, didn't he?
Sent off within.
Sent
off and then got injured.
Lovely hair band down.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful hair out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Real Madrid for me. go to Jose. Kay will be there as well. She can give us updates and all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
But
she might give me his address.
She might do. I prefer her address, really. Yeah, so if he has to go somewhere, real, but I think he might want to stay at Man United. I think he might.
Do you think they can patch it up?
Yeah, I'm sure they could.
Ferguson's made a point
of saying... Is this an elaborate ruse to get him an even bigger contract?
Possibly. But he's, they've not talked money, and Ferguson has stated he's not had an argument with him. You could see Ferguson on that press conference yesterday was like no one's ever seen him before.
He looked really hurt, didn't he?
Yeah. And
he did
look upset, but then what he's done is very clever as well.
Yeah.
Because now, like, I saw Mike for the first time since the weekend.
Yeah.
First thing he said to me, fat scouse twat. Basically. Yeah.
And the fans are on the club side.
The fans are on the club side. But the fact is, if Ferguson's been very clever, and why is he being clever? Is he the Glazers are coming out of this okay? On another front, if this had happened, the Glazers could be like, right, Rooney's going to be leaving, blame them. Now, it's like, okay, it's Rooney's decision.
Nah,
it's not
I know that. For a fact that Man United supporters trust are piling this all on Malcolm Glazer and co.
Yes.
But I've not heard anything.
I saw a statement yesterday that said that.
I'm a member of the Man United supporters trust, and all the emails have been around saying...
In which case, it would be very easy for Fergie to sit there and go, well, we can't afford him, or he wants to earn more money.
He can't say that because he's
very interesting. Like when his book comes out, that'll be interesting to see this whole Glazer period for Ferguson, because he doesn't really say much on the matter, does he? And I know he's got to stay quite neutral and stuff like that, but I want to know what he's actually thinking rather than what he's putting in front of the press.
I would still hope, as a good socialist fella, he's not too happy about their ownership, but he loves the club more than anything.
I think he's winding down. I honestly think if Manchester United win the league this year, he'll pack in. Because he'll have surpassed Liverpool, he'll see that as job done, and he'll retire a legend. I mean, he could retire tomorrow, he'd be a legend.
Yeah.
It's the Champions League, though, isn't it, for him?
He puts himself up there to be shot at. But as a football manager, if you look at what he actually does, he does look after his players. Very, very. I can't think of too many occasions where he's come out and slagged off his own players. He doesn't do it.
No.
And he's prepared to put himself in the line of fire. To deflect stuff away from play. And he'll say some outlandish, ridiculous things that will take up newspaper headlines for two-thirds of a week purely to take the pressure off a goalkeeper who's made an error or a defender who's got sent off.
Or Varane, remember famously when he told the press that they didn't know what they were talking about.
He's an absolute genius as a manager, and I think he showed that in his press conference. I thought he was superb.
Somehow though, like taking it back to Harry Redknapp, my beef with him has always been that he's so quick to slag off his players, like Darren Bent, and
that was silly.
When he got the ball kicked to his head and said that's why you're in the fucking reserves. It's quite funny, but I always think that's the worst thing you could do as a manager. Wenger never slags players.
You're in it together, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wenger's had an interesting week, isn't he? Because he's been banging on and on and on about dangerous tackles, this, that, the other. Jack Wilshere chopped someone in half, sent off, and all of a sudden, it's all the spotlight's on Wenger now. He's like, well, he's apologised. It's like, well, Martin Taylor apologised.
Yeah. To be fair, Wenger did say it was a red card, but
I mean, Wenger, top manager, and if Rooney could work for a manager as good as Wenger after working for someone like Sir Alex, and he's doing all right. Okay, we'll move on to our next topic. We'll look at the performances of our teams this weekend. Mike, Man United, tell us about that. 2-0 up.
Well, on the pitch, it's another just... I can't believe it. As soon as they got the first goal, I knew it was going to be a draw. It's really just so demoralising. Yeah, I mean, I only listened to it on the radio, but going 2-0 up, having seen the highlights, we were flying first off. Berbatov could have had a couple. Vidic hit the post at the start of the second half. It all looked easy, but again, we've just conspired to snatch a draw from the jaws of victory. And fair play to West Brom. They played well, they had ideas, but we were sloppy all over the pitch. It's worrying. I mean, this Rooney nonsense doesn't help. But
the crowd were all chant, because back then it was the club really wrong and Rooney was the club.
I would hope now, at least, if a similar situation arises, they'll get behind the players rather than chant for Rooney.
Yeah.
But we've got Stoke the weekend.
That's
in theory.
Is it Stoke away?
Stoke away, We did win that. We won there quite easily last season, and the year before we did alright there. We won, but it was a bit tighter. But yeah, we need to go there, play with some purpose, and yeah. just.
Would you put Rooney at Stoke?
No, well, he's injured now, which was very convenient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, on a podcast, you can't see that I just made a sort of.
Speech marks.
Movement, yes. Or,
quotes injured.
Quotes, yes. But no, I'd happily throw him. If he's willing to play, I'd put him in the squad. But he's shown this season he's not. His heart's not in it. So
yeah.
There's no purpose. I mean, there are a few positives. Berbatov is still playing very well. Nani is upholding his form for the second half of last season. Hernandez looks good. Vidic looks good. Anderson has actually played quite well since he came back. Certainly, first half at the weekend, he did well until. Giggsy had to go off injured, he got pushed out wide a bit, and Darren Gibson came on. But the point's all, yeah, Evra has lost all form this season. He's just looked really sloppy. There's a couple of times he's passing, he's just wayward.
It's a hangover from the World Cup, he needs a bit of a rest, maybe.
Something like that.
Who have United got who can play left back?
John O'Shea, he's a good backup, but he's not a starter for either right back or left back.
You've got the two Brazilian boys.
Fabio. He's probably the best. Fabio's the left back. Yeah, he's probably the best. But I mean, Richie Gillette's gone on loan to Stoke. Not Stoke, sorry, Sheffield United. But yeah, it's a bit of a dearth. So apparently we're going to go after a few players. But Gibson and Carrick aren't good enough for the midfield.
Yeah.
Neither of them seem to be living up to it. And yeah, if Rooney goes, we're going to need another striker. But realistically, we probably need about five or six more players across the pitch to.
Will that happen, though, with the
way the
purse strings are being guarded?
That's the problem.
Be interesting to see what happens in January, because on paper, at least, it looks like United are slowly dropping, they're dropping back towards the pack. There isn't that gap. Chelsea and United have had that gap. Man, you are dropping down a little bit. Chelsea seem to be maintaining they drew on Saturday.
We've just got to be
positive. Sunday, rather.
We still haven't lost a game this season, which there's been a lot of draws. And if you look at it, I mean, Everton was a ridiculous 2 points to drop. Fulham was a ridiculous 2 points to drop.
West Brom
was a ridiculous. If we had those, we'd be a point ahead of Chelsea at the top of the league.
Yeah, and they're all games we were leading in.
They were all games we're leading. They were all games Fulham, we should have scored the penalty and been leading comfortably, but.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Okay. Jim.
Yeah.
The Jills, mate.
They did alright, didn't they?
We did alright, didn't we? Yeah.
Away from home against the team top of the league.
Away from home, 0-0 draw. Now, it's kind of bittersweet, this, because, okay, we didn't win, and a 0-0 draw against top of the table is good. However, we did set a club record in doing this. 33 consecutive away games without a win in the league, I believe it is. That's quite some stat. And the players have come out. Mark Bentley, who's our club captain, came out and said, we are getting a bit sick of it. It's been rammed down our throats. I mean, he's a good lad, Bentley. But it sounds like the signs are there. It's going to happen. I think Northampton's our next away game in 2 weeks' time. And then 2 weeks after that, we've got Barnet. And if ever there was an away game that Gillingham fans want to win, it's Barnet, because we've got... Barnet's manager is Mark Stimson, who was the manager at Gillingham last year, who took us down and showed very little respect for the support that season. So
that's on a Tuesday. I think we should do a podcast trip to that.
We'll go. Is it a Tuesday night game?
Yes, yeah, Tuesday night. It's going to be brilliant.
I'm up for that. We'll do that. So, I mean, 0-0 draw. What do you think? I mean, it's... We are beginning to look a little bit better now. Some of our players are getting back.
The key is, when anyone's team gets a decent away point, or when they haven't been performing too well, you need to back up. So Saturday we've got a team at home which we should beat in Torquay.
Well,
they won the first four games, they've not won since. They started off quite well. So they need to get a win on Saturday, and I really hope they do. Otherwise, it won't mean fuck all. So
no,
that's my point of view on it.
It sounds like we should have won. I mean, Mickey Adams, the Port Vale manager, ex-Gillingham player actually, Mickey Adams, admitted that we were the better side. We hit the post twice. Tough game against Torquay on Saturday. We'll win that, and hopefully we'll be up and running again.
Other things from this weekend of football as well. I like Bolton's new TV view. Have you seen that? They've moved the camera.
It does look better. It makes the stadium look bigger as well.
They had Man United on their TV the other week, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it just makes it look so much better. So
before,
I'd like to
it looked like the camera was on the roof.
They used to have to have it up there, because with the long ball football Sam Allardyce played, it was the only way to get on the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Secondly, it was pointed out by my good friend Bill Kerr, aka Banana Man, that Colaccini, backstick, equaliser. Yeah. Don't know if you've seen the goal.
Proper
backstick, went over everyone. Backstick, 2-2, Colaccini. So well done, Bill, for pointing that out.
Fantastic.
And lastly, I've had an email request from someone.
Yeah.
And Mike Allard.
Okay.
He wants to see Mike's face.
My face?
He said, Mike,
trust me, you're fucking down.
But Mike emailed in. I don't know who he is, or I don't know, he might be one of them. But I won't pass.
Again, you can't see the hand gesture when you're listening to it. But I'll tell you what, we'll let you guess what Jim's hand gesture is.
I mean, we've all got profiles, so basically he wants your profile. What? Basically he wants to see your face.
Sent me the text yesterday, he's got to send me a picture. Yeah, so I want to send me a pic.
I'm trying to pick
one. If he doesn't, I'll pick one from his Facebook.
I'm trying to pick one of my good side, but you know, it's proving difficult.
So Mike Allard, your request is being dealt with, you can see Mike's face soon.
So you've got a groupie.
Yeah, well, you know.
Groupie, there you go.
If Mike Allard is an 18-year-old girl with big tits... But I get the feeling he's not.
No. So chances are.
I get that feeling as well.
Yeah. Right, okay, kicking on our Fantasy 11. We actually got a suggestion in for this. Steve O'Shaughnessy emailed us.
We've been bloody inundated this week, haven't we?
Yeah, right. We've been inundated by an email from Steve
can't get out the door for my thumbnail. It's all from Mike Allard and my mum, though, yeah.
Steve O'Shaughnessy from Tour Point sent us this. Said, could the podcast please pick an uncapped England 11? So that's an 11 that could potentially play in their next match, featuring 11 players with no senior international caps to their name. So 11 non-capped players who are currently playing at the moment.
Goalkeeper.
I've gone for Ross Turnbull at Chelsea, because I didn't want to just pick all the England under 21s.
Yeah.
So I've tried to mix it up a little bit.
Okay, I've gone for Rob Green. Oh no. He's the wanker old wish had no caps. I hate him. Yeah, yeah. I called it before the World Cup, and you saw what happened at the World Cup. He's useless, he shouldn't be in the team.
I tell you, it used to be great if you search for Rob Green on Google Images, the third image, look it up. It's not of Rob Green, it's of something that's very strange.
Good, I'll have a look.
I don't know if it's still the case, but have a look.
Absolutely useless.
Okay, who are you going for?
Steve Harper.
Okay, experienced old head at the back there.
He's doing very well.
Good goalkeeper, never gets to look in. But now he is.
Well, when I thought about it, I was thinking, who plays regularly or who has played regularly, and he does now obviously play. I thought Steve Harper. I didn't even know if he was actually English.
He's very Geordie.
Yeah,
he's very Geordie.
So I've gone for Stevie Harper.
Okay. I was going to go for Steve Harper, but thinking about it, if it's someone who could play in the next game, he is injured. So I guess I'll say Scott Loach. From Watford. He's a very good keeper. For some reason, he's been a bit behind Fielding.
Fielding's a decent young goalkeeper.
He's decent, but Scott Loach seems to have a bit more class.
Where is Frank Fielding?
He's Blackburn, but he's on loan somewhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where he is now, because he was at Rochdale a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is now, though. But he's decent. He might be Huddersfield or someone like that.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, who we got as right backs, Jim?
I've gone for Nigel Riococca.
As a right back? Okay, he's played there before.
Yeah, he has played there. What are you laughing for, Northerner?
He's a central midfielder.
He's played right back.
He has played right back before.
I've seen him play right
back
against
Gillingham. And he's got a great song as well.
I know it was against Gillingham, but he has played right back. He played very well.
We nearly signed him once, actually.
Well, he was shit. And then when Lionel Hill went, he's actually got good again.
Yeah.
He's built like an absolute brick shit house.
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
I've got a mate who's a Villa fan, Rick, if you list him. And we were talking about him the other day, and he went, he's stronger than Carew.
Blimey.
I was like, really? He's like, yeah, he's just absolutely built. He's tough.
Okay.
And he should have scored against Chelsea the weekend. He burst through. Did very well and then choked at the end.
When he was at Wimbledon, he was absolutely brilliant for them. When they were on the downside and all the uncertainty, he was the man who just led them through. It was him and a guy called Wade Small who sort of dropped out a bit.
Who are you going for, Si?
I've gone for Chris Smalling.
Centre-back?
No, right-back. He can play right.
He is a centre back.
Well, he can play right or centre. But
Midway boy as well.
Yeah, he is ex Maidstone, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
There's actually two players in the under 21s from Midway. Ryan Bertrand as well.
He's my left back.
Born in Gillingham.
we'll talk about that in a minute.
There you go.
And that's not because he's ex Gillingham, by the way. He's a decent player. But Chris Small is my right back. Who have you gone for?
I couldn't remember if Nedim Nwa had played for Nigeria or not.
He's an England under 21 international. I don't think he's played for the seniors.
I wasn't sure because I know there was some questions about who he'd play for. If not, I'm going to go for the uncapped Gary Neville and Tony Hibbert.
Who got absolutely rinsed in the last show by your mate Chug.
I remember seeing him in the FA Cup final. They took him off at half-time against Chelsea. Yeah.
But before
the
that,
he's... right-backs in the Premier League. Yeah. Not many, are they? He's probably the only other one I can
think of. He's solid, if not spectacular.
He's a 6 out of 10 every week.
He does look a lot like an extra from Trainspotting. And I do remember when Wayne Rooney signed his first professional contract, they had a press conference. And the other big thing there was that Tony Ibbett had signed a new contract.
Tony Ibbett just sat
on the side.
Stood aside looking nervous.
Until one journalist was like, "So what do you think of this, Tony?" And he was like,
"I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Donny Schmack."
Where's he from?
I think that's...
He's from Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland. Same as Steve O'Shaughnessy.
Steve O'Shaughnessy. Yeah,
centre-back, same side.
Centre-backs, I'll do them both. Michael Mancien and Ryan Shawcross.
Is Michael Mancien not a right-back?
No, he's a centre-half. Oh. Although you could swap him round with Smalling, I guess.
Some sort of continental system.
I've gone for some sort of total football arrangement at the back. So yeah, Michael Mancien, good under 21 player. He's got a few mistakes in him still. Still looks a little bit nervous, but I think he's got a lot of ability. I think he's a good back.
Yeah.
And you need a big commanding centre half, and they don't come much bigger and more commanding than short.
Yeah.
So someone who just missed the cut actually was Michael Turner.
Yeah.
Who I was going to pick until I realised I hadn't picked Shawcross. So, yeah, Shawcross and Mancien. So, who have you gone for? Shot.
I've gone for Ryan Shawcross again and Roger Johnson.
Roger Johnson, yeah.
Birmingham, he's done well. I don't know if he's quite got that bit of class to make the step up, but certainly last season he was one of the surprise packages in a very good Birmingham City side.
He's just a strong centre half.
He's strong, he's no nonsense, yeah. I had Michael Turner down as my next choice. I also thought about Smalling, but I think that pair, certainly two that could have a look in. I mean, Shawcross has been in and around the squad before, but...
Yeah, I mean, this picking this team, I know when we've done other 11s in the past, it's sometimes been quite easy to pick teams. This one, we actually had to do a bit of research.
Yeah.
So I've gone for Mancien and Shawcross. You've gone for Shawcross and Roger Johnson. Jim, who have you gone for?
Centre-backs. Sorry about that.
That's right.
I've gone for Smalling and Gibbs at left back.
Gibbs has already played for England.
What?
He played the last game, I think.
Come on, wake up, Jim.
All right, then Smalling and Shawcross centre backs.
Yep.
And then I'll have
Bertrand left back. Yeah, Bertrand's my left back. He's at Chelsea at the moment. Well, no, he's a Chelsea player. He's on loan at Reading, I think.
He's been out. No, he's on loan at...
Oh, sorry, he was on loan at Reading.
Yeah, he was on loan at Reading. He's now at... Oh, bollocks. I watched him play the other day.
Yeah, I can't remember who he's with.
I think it might be Forrest. No, it's not Forrest. I'll remember it.
Yeah, Ryan Bertrand, though, decent player. Came through the youth system at Gillingham. Never got anywhere near the team. Chelsea bought him.
Never got anywhere near the team. He was only 14 at the time.
Well, yeah. Never got anywhere near the team at Chelsea, and he's been loaned out. But he's a good young player. He's a regular in the 21s now. Who have you gone for?
See, the only English left back I could think of without dipping into the 21s is Liam Ridgewell.
Okay, who could also play centre half.
Another solid, if unspectacular, Birmingham City player. Certainly done well across the divide from Villa to Birmingham.
Judas.
Yeah, another one of our Judases.
Actually, on the topic of Judases, very quickly before I forget, anyone knows any Judases for their club, email them to us at Banter at Football Podcast and we'll put a list together.
Yeah, name and shame
the Judas. Well, no, the Judiah.
To be honest, that was about as much as I had on Liam.
Alright, we'll look at the midfield now. The midfield, I'm really pleased with my midfield, but who have you got on the right wing, Jim?
Right wing, I've gone for Jarvis.
Okay.
Traditionally a left winger, I know.
Yep.
But he's right footed, as we know.
He can play the wing, can't he?
Yeah.
And he really has done well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he scored a game at the weekend, didn't he? He's a bit fortuitous or whatever, but actually, it was a good finish.
He got picked in a provisional England squad 2 matches ago. I think the Switzerland game, he was in the 30, didn't make the cut.
There's not many English players playing every week and scoring goals in the Premiership, is there?
No.
And he is one of them.
Yeah,
so.
Good for him, and he's a good lad as well. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Jordan Henderson, who's really come to the fore this season.
Okay.
So he's not traditionally a right winger, but...
Talked to him about last week as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got him as a centre midfielder in my team. I've got Jarvis on the left. On the left. On the right, I've got for Mark Albright of Villa. I think having those two, Jarvis and Albright, and that's two really direct... Old-fashioned wingers as well, you know, proper get to the byline and cut in, and you know, get the crosses in.
Yeah.
I might as well finish up with midfield since I've named three of them. Jack Rodwell would be the fourth one.
Yeah.
I'd have Rodwell holding, Henderson in front of him, Jarvis on the left, Albrighton on the right. What about you, Jim?
I've gone for Matthew Taylor on the left.
Well, I nearly picked him. And
I really
forgot about Albrighton.
I've liked him. I was more going on previous form than current form.
Yeah.
If I was going on current form, then I'd probably have Rodwell.
Yep.
And then a central midfield, which I quite like, of Nolan sitting deep, and Leon Osman.
He's a decent player.
He doesn't get any headlines, but he always seems to do quite well, doesn't he?
I think they do quite well.
He's always on the fringes of the Everton team.
He emerged late as well. He was about 23 when he broke through. But
decent player.
My midfield, then, obviously, I said Jordan Henderson on the right, Matty Everington on the left. Done very well at Stoke, sort of resurrected his career after some personal problems. Jack Roswell in centre midfield, and I've cheated a bit, say Mikel Arteta alongside
him. That's not
him.
Cheating.
Eligible to play for England. Yep. I would love to see him in an England shirt. I think he's a brilliant player.
Manuel in goal then?
Funnily enough.
No, strange that, innit?
We'll leave that.
Cudicini.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout. I mean, as an Englishman and a fan of the England team, would you accept having Mikel Arteta in the England team?
Yeah. In a heartbeat.
You would. Why wouldn't you, Jim?
Because he's not English.
Okay.
We're not Wales or Republic of Ireland.
We don't need to do that.
The problem is we're also not Germany or France who do it all the time.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe that's why we're not winning anything.
Yeah. It took me a long
cheating.
Time.
Cheating.
The key to winning, more foreign players.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp, game in.
Yeah. We the dealer.
It took me a long time to get used to the fact that we've got a foreign coach, but foreign players, no way.
So we look at the front two now, and I'm just looking at your bit of paper. You've got the same two as me, so you tell me about one of them, I'll tell you the other one.
Alright, Andy Carroll.
Back stick.
Dan Ferdinand, rest in peace. was a big fan of his at the start of the season, and he did very well.
Dan's gone not off dead, form, by the way.
Gone off form a little bit, but definitely one of the ones that I consider putting in there, giving him a shout. Would have been Kevin Davies up until last week as well, to be honest.
Yes, yeah.
Definitely would have been.
I thought he played well when he came on, to be fair to him as well.
Yeah, apart from decapitating someone, he did quite well.
You know, points for that.
So, yeah, Carroll was one of mine. You could talk about the other
Daniel Sturridge. Yeah. Daniel Sturridge is the other one. Live wire striker. He's doing very well for the 21s. The only problem with Daniel Sturridge is he's not getting a lot of first team football. I think he needs to leave and play for a Birmingham City or somewhere like that where he will get in and will get regular football. And
but I mean, he's always in and around the squad. It's a bit like Danny Welbeck at Man
United. He makes a lot of sub appearances. He plays in the Carling Cup.
If there's a player that they're given a chance to, someone like Ancelotti or Fergie would have him in there because they are going to be doing
a very good backup player.
Like they're going to be doing a business on the training ground. If they weren't good enough, they'd have been shipped out a long time ago, wouldn't they? So definitely worth putting in there.
Okay, who are your two?
I've got Andy Carroll as well, largely on the back of his lovely hair. And then partnering him, I've gone for Cameron Jerome. Another average Birmingham City player, but he scores a lot more goals than you think. He's quick. I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for. And he was probably, in a very underrated Birmingham side last season, the most underrated player. Because they had a lot of players, like Roger Johnson has mentioned, Liam Ridgewell, Stephen Carr, who people said were underrated, but got the plaudits that way. Jerome didn't.
Yeah.
But he did a good job.
Yeah, no, he's a decent player. So what we'll do, we'll put those teams up on the website later this week. Right, we'll look at how our adopted teams got on. I'll talk about Peterhead. Bit of a landmark weekend. They got their second league win of the season. They won 1-0 against Dumbarton at Balmoral. Substitute David Ross called home the only goal of the game. Just 4 minutes left. So it's a second league win of the season. They've moved out of the relegation zone. They're up to eighth now. My predictive text on my phone says it's a delegation zone, but I'm telling you it's a relegation zone. It's moved out of the relegation zone. They're now eighth out of 10 in the Iron Brew Scottish Division 2, and there's an interview with Neil Cooper on the website now. Mike,
so slightly more subdued week for Northwich Vicks. FA Trophy game against Lincoln United, who were a league below, ended up drawing 0-0 at the weekend, which was a bit of a disappointment, especially with our threadbare squad. Luckily, in the replay last night, Vicks prevailed 3-2 to set up a glamour tie with Glapwell in the next round.
Glapwell? Where's that?
God knows.
North.
It sounds northern, doesn't it?
Where these places are, surely.
Sounds northern, no. I know where Northwich is. I know where Barnton and Weaverham and Sandyway are, and that's about how far I extend.
Okay.
But no, in sad news, we're no longer top of the Evo Stick Premier Division. Halifax won last night against Bradford Park Avenue. 1-0 to go ahead. It's away at Bursko this weekend. So
we don't like Bursko.
No, we don't like Bursko.
No, me neither, but why?
They knocked out the FA Cup a couple of years ago.
Oh, there you go then.
It was dreadful.
Well, let's get some revenge.
We were 1-0 up with about a minute left. Or 2-1 up and we lost 3-2. 2-1 up with a minute left and we lost 3-2.
Jim.
Hastings United, since the last update, they've had two games in the trophy as well. Both against Dulwich, who are a league below. They drew 2-2 on Saturday. goals from John Beals and Fraser Logan, two people who we haven't heard of.
No, as far as I can remember,
not names that I can remember. Conceding an 86 minute equaliser, the game also saw the third captain named, because obviously Sean Ray was captain, got injured. Adi Ullerunda, I'm afraid to tell you, is also injured.
Blimey.
Possibly knee ligaments. My guy down there, his son, Adi, is his PE teacher. He's been hobbling around on crutches since their last cup game.
So took over.
It was John Beals who then went on and scored. Everyone who plays the captain,
give him the armband and he scores.
Give him an armband and they just score. Sean Ray was popping.
Can you not just give him all an armband?
Yeah, make them all captains. That's it. Just make them all bloody captains. So drew 2-2, 86th minute. They lost 2-1 last night at home, which is bad news. But on the plus side, they miss out on a trip to North Devon against Biddeford. 500 mile job, so it's not the end of the world. Yes, although they would have got money for going through and stuff like
that.
That
would have been offset by the
petrol costs. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Next game is home against Lowestoft, who are top of the league.
Oh.
So they're down at the Pilot Field on Saturday.
Cool. So it's about Riverside.
We won 3-2.
Yeah,
there you go. Beat AFC Jordan 3-2. Threadbare squad. The manager was going to make a few sort of changes. He said before the game, two or three of you wouldn't have been in the starting 11, but you are because people are out injured and stuff like that. I played having the shits, which wasn't very good for me.
What, during?
Pretty much, yeah.
Guessing you were unmarked. Yeah, a lot of it.
Oh, I felt absolutely awful Saturday morning. I could hardly run, let alone play a game of football.
Welcome to me every day.
Yeah, but we won 3-2. Shout out to the goal scorers. Jonathan Furman got two.
Furman,
you both know.
Yeah.
And Jake Bishop, captain, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Got the other one. Played up front and got the other one. So, selection headache possibly for the manager.
Well, you can't players, change your winning side.
Players coming back. Well, this is
make
it.
Make them sit on the bench, get them hungry.
There's no bench.
Oh, it doesn't
make
work.
Make them stand on the. Make them run the line.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Bench. Look at Wayne Rooney. He gets sit on the bench once and he wants to go.
But I say there is no bench. He wants the manager, John Hatchett, once brought a blow up bench to the game. Honestly, it's like a massive Lilo. We were like, that is amazing. And that never came back. I think it just flew off. I don't know what happened to it, but it never came back.
Oh,
so home to Red Line on Saturday, so let you know we get on. Still no news on the kit, but it is coming. Trust us.
No Stu's news this week, because Stu's not here. So we'll move straight on with our weekend prediction. The big match of the week, one of the biggest matches in the European football calendar, really, is Celtic v Rangers, the Old Firm derby, this Sunday 24th, midday on Sky Sports 4. For all of you who've got Sky, make sure you watch that. We've got some guest predictors today. We've got more than one. It's Jamie Borthwick, Andy Harrow and Simon Laird, who are all part of Royal One Radio, who do a football podcast in Glasgow, and they were in the pub this week, and here's what they had to say.
Oh, and welcome to the Royal One Football Show. And we're taking a leaf out of the podcast's book today because we didn't get access to our studio, so we are broadcasting from the Park Bar in Glasgow. And you'll probably hear a bit of clinking later on as well because we're getting some food. And we've all got drinks, and it's lovely to be here with us, Simon Laird and Andrew Harrow.
Hello, I'm missing a very serious breast-related injury. I've got a cracked rib, so I may have to stifle my moans of discomfort throughout the show, but just ignore that if it does happen.
So if you hear any wheezing in the background, then it's not just the pub drunk. moving swiftly on, Andrew Harrow's not really up for chat today.
He's kind of distracted.
I don't know what game we're watching. What game is this on?
Eyes on the ball, Andrew. We're talking SBL here. Hello. Right. By request, we'll be doing a little bit of predicting for the football podcast, our good friends down south. It's Celtic versus Rangers on Sunday at Celtic Park. Two teams with 100% records. We probably say it every time, but this is absolutely gigantic. I am going to go for Celtic 2, Rangers 1.
I'm going to go for a Rangers win. I don't know what the score will be, but I'll go for a Rangers win.
Okay.
I'm going to go for, I'm going to put it out there, I think Celtic are going to win 3-0.
3-0?
I think they are going to go all guns blazing, a couple of early goals, and then sit back in a little late third in the second half. There's a lot of pace about that Celtic team. They commit a lot of bodies forward, but it's not wasteful when they go forward. Always create chances. So I think it could be an interesting game. I'm definitely looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, astonishing stuff. Well, thanks very much, both of you.
Right, okay, so mixed bag of predictions there. A couple going for Celtic, one going for Rangers. Jim, what are your thoughts?
Chuck got it last week. Spot on, by the way. So we need to update that. This is going to be
Tony Hibbert didn't play.
Yeah, so exactly. So he did. He did all right. This is going to be quite interesting. It's on Sky as well, I think, isn't it? On at noon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch a couple of hours because I'm always fascinated by it. I remember my old firm memory, because I know the guys were talking about it this weekend.
Yeah.
I remember Celtic absolutely dicking Rangers. I remember that they scored a few, so I looked it up and it was 6-2 back in 2000, because the BBC went for a stage of showing them on the beep.
Yes, they did.
And at the time, the BBC didn't have a lot of football, so when it was on, it was like, oh, good, a chance to watch it, because watching it on the beep is so much better than ITV. And I remember it would have been when Sutton and Larsson were up front.
Yeah.
So I remember Larsson scoring a couple of goals, but they absolutely warranted them 6-2. This weekend, I think, I reckon it might be a draw. I know the guys are quite behind Celtic, a couple of them, because it's at home and stuff like that, but I'm going to go for 2-2.
Okay.
And I hope it's entertaining. I'm going to be watching.
They're always entertaining. I think the worst position to be in that game is the man with the whistle in the middle.
Yeah.
Because it's always absolutely frenetic, hectic and mental. Yeah. Like,
I'm a bit torn. I should really go for Celtic, because I was raised Catholic boy. But Rangers had a very, very good side on Championship Manager 97-98.
Yeah.
Marco Negri, Seb Rosenthal up front. Great side.
Marco Negri.
In order to hold on to the joint leads at the top, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw as well.
Okay.
I'm hoping that it'll go down to the last day of the season.
They've both got 100% record at the moment.
Yeah, both started the season very well. I mean, this is a really, really tough one to pick. I've just got a sneaky feeling Celtic are going to win this. I think home advantage is going to tell. That Celtic at home are formidable, whether it be in the Champions League, whether it be in the Scottish Premier League. The atmosphere that you get inside Parkhead is something special. And I think that Old Firm derby, there's not much to pick between the two sides. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Celtic win. I think it's going to, but I do think it's going to be a great match to watch. If anyone out there hasn't watched an Old Firm derby game before, and you think you know what a local derby's like, watch this. The atmosphere will be absolutely ridiculous, and it will be a great, great game. So that's Sunday 24th, midday, Sky Sports 4.
Talking of Celtic as well, I watched the Chelsea game last night, or 5:30, whenever it kicked off.
Yeah, he played for Spartak Moscow.
A strange one.
Yeah,
he had quite a decent game as well on the wing, and they quite like him. But it was just strange seeing him there. I was like, what the hell? Must be quite interesting.
He's one of the few players you're saying not many go overseas.
Yeah,
he's actually done it. I mean, he's going over there for a lot of money. Spartak Moscow got a lot of money there.
There's a few Irish lads abroad, man, like Cillian Sheridan and a couple of others. But to be fair to McGady, he's probably moved to a warmer climate.
Attracted
by the sun.
Yeah,
brilliant. Right, okay. Class and Arse was going to be Stu this week, so we'll just have an open house on this one.
Can I pitch Harry Redknapp?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go for Rooney.
I will go for Rooney, but with the proviso that Harry Redknapp's tagged on already, trying to tap him up.
Okay.
So the pair of them
are lobbed in together.
Yeah.
All right. For
a pair of bum cheeks to make up the
arse. Yes. Oh God, that's
any,
a horrible
any arse. On that? Are you happy with that?
Nah, that's fine.
I'll go with that.
I'm happy to let Mike go with that.
Class of the week for me. It's Fergie.
For his Oscar-winning performance. Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about Rooney, does he?
I thought as a performance at a press conference, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. So he's my class of the week. What about you, Jim?
I'm happy to go with that.
Yeah, I can never argue with Fergie.
So we're on the side of Sir Alex Ferguson. It's not often you can say that. So Fergie's class, Rooney, brackets, and Harry Redknapp, close brackets, arse of the week. That's us done this week. You can contact us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. You can check the website at www.footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Twitter and Facebook. And that's pretty much us this week. We'll talk to you again next week.